G220 Effect. I am Steve.
And I'm Denai.
Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the G220 Effect.
We believe that this word will help bring transformation in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit in you.
Let's get it and let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back in action. We were inactive, but now we activated because we got the power of the Holy Spirit resting inside of us.
Amen. I love that. We were inactive, but now we're active. Hallelujah. We were dead once, but now we're alive in Christ.
Alive in Christ.
Hallelujah.
You know what? And I'm amazed by how we die to ourselves and then we become alive again. And you know, the transformation that's supposed to happen to us as believers, it's so amazing, you know, when we do transform and we get to see something in us that we've never seen before. Instead of going and trying to get the old and the new together and trying to have a party and the party don't turn out the way it's supposed to be, man, it's so good when you get to see the newness of life happening in you and you get to see it flourishing.
Being born again is one of the most beautiful things. I know we beat that horse down, but that's the gospel. So that we have to talk about it. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of salvation unto those that believe. So if you believe this, that when you come to Christ, you are born again. You become a new creation. Everything that was old passes away and you become new. New, like you said, you start to discover patience you never thought you had. You start to discover grace you didn't even know you had. You start to discover love that you never thought you had, because you're now conforming more and more into the image of who he is, who your father has been all along, who your true self is.
Come on with it.
That is beautiful.
Come on with it.
That is beautiful. And praise God for that. I could just shout right now.
Oh yeah, keep going. Come on. I mean, you getting in that place where you gotta din, 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 din.
No, I don't know. I don't know how to do that kind of shouting. But it's exciting, and you know, there's a witness in my spirit. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
do you have that witness in your spirit when you hear the good news, when you hear the gospel, and it just activates something in you that says, "Whoa, that is true." And that's what we like to talk about, is having the Holy Spirit in you, because in order for you to really have this transformation, you have to understand that you have a helper, and he's the Holy Spirit, right?
And you know, I like what you just said. That helper, the Holy Spirit, helps you find what truth really is.
Yes.
You know, and you have to become a truth seeker when you become a believer in Christ. You can't just go on the surface and look for things and say, oh, this is it. You have to find if it's really truth, or is it really the substance of your heart and where my heart lies at right now. You know, my heart might be into things that I might not even know that is into, because it's laying dormant in me and I haven't let it go, and I've hardened my heart in certain situations, so things are not changing, but I'm operating out of what's flowing out of my heart. They say out of the issues of the heart flows life, right? Life flows out of the issues of the heart, right?
Yes. And you know what? I love that Jesus warned the disciples. He said, you know what? The Pharisees that he was talking to, he said, your father is the father of lies. So we know that Satan is the father of lies. Nothing in him is true. He's good at deceiving, taking what's true and making it counterfeit, even though it's not true. So momentarily, it might make you feel good. But you know what? It is eating you up alive and you're dying instead of coming alive. So yeah, I want to know the truth.
You know, I give you a basic example. Somebody drops $50, right? And you let it sit there for 15, 20 minutes to see if they come back. And then you pick it up. And you know what? Then you put it in your pocket. And then you start walking down the block. And then you run into this person. And you still keep the money. Now, is that walking in truth? And so guess what? You make up your own truth and say, well, they needed it. They would have asked me. And they would have said this. You start to make excuses about whether they needed it or not. They didn't look like they needed it, all this stuff. And that's what your heart is doing. And that's how you know if your heart is in a good place or it's not. You don't give them the money back. And you end up keeping it.
Man, you know how many situations people do things like this and say, I'm a good person and say, I'm okay. And they do things like this instead of doing what is right.
Hey, there's a saying in the world. It's called finders keepers.
Yeah. Well, if finders keepers don't mean you're a good person.
It doesn't mean that you're living in truth because, yeah, you can, good person is, we know that's subjective.
Yeah, it's very subjective. But that brings us to the topic, you know, things like that. That's vanity, man. Because guess what? Nothing that we do without God is, if any good, because it all becomes vanity.
Yes.
Because we start to do it out of self.
Amen. Man. So yeah, that is the topic. We've been enjoying fasting, haven't we?
Oh man, we've been fasting around the clock, man. 24/7.
I feel like we throughout the year, even years, we've been fasting more than we have been eating because we have had a lot of fasting, which is wonderful. And yeah, it's a blessing just to be able to spend that time not focusing on just feeding our flesh, but really spending time with the Lord. And it has been such a blessing that we've done throughout the end of this year as we continue to just say we believe in God. We're going to be strengthened as believers for whatever is to come. So,
I like to ask questions. Do you have a relationship with the Bible, or do you have a relationship with God himself?
I have a relationship.
You know, because some people have a relationship with the Bible where they can quote the scriptures, give you the scripture verbatim and say, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, and guess what? That becomes legalism because now you're trying to live by every word that's written down on paper instead of living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
This is the same reason why the Pharisees called it heresy for Jesus to say what he was saying, because what was written didn't really align to what they wanted it to be verbatim.
Sure.
And yet he's saying, I am he. I'm the one that they spoke about. I'm the one. I'm presenting myself. I'm here. I'm alive. And that's what the word does. It becomes alive when we allow ourselves to have a relationship through the Holy Spirit and not reading the word verbatim, like you said. Like, we shouldn't read it like that, but we should allow the Holy Spirit to bring meaning to what is being said.
Yeah.
But we don't want to get off topic, so let's go back to vanity. We have been, so through this fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit just brought in our hearts for us to study the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah,
what have you been thinking about this book?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it because it's a book of wisdom, right? It gives us precepts and examples based on what God is saying to us through generations, and that people going through what he's been saying to us and doing it, but doing it their way. And God, and if you read the Bible, the story is pretty much that we want to do God's will the way we want to do it instead of doing it the way God said it. And so God is like, okay, you're still honoring me to a certain extent, but guess what? You got to come out of yourself and so you can see the fullness of what I'm doing. And so reading the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm really understanding what wisdom looks like and what it sounds like. And, you know, generational wisdom with it, when you can look at somebody else's life and say, I'm learning from them. And so I don't want to do what they do. I don't want to make mistakes that they make, and continue to live on, you know, and live on according to every word that God is saying and watching the natural repercussions of life, you know. So, yeah.
For me, it has been so interesting because it sounds like such a pessimistic book. Like, it sounds so negative. If you read it without the Holy Spirit, you can become, like, have a view that, so what is the point of anything? And that's pretty much the picture that the author of Ecclesiastes is trying to bring out, is that without God and bringing meaning to what we do, then everything is meaningless, which, let's go ahead and start defining that word vanity, because we see it in the book of Ecclesiastes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So the meaning to vanity, and the dictionary and the Webster's dictionary, they define it as being having excessive pride in one's looks, what somebody, you know, what you have achieved, those things that are tangible. And dictionary.com says, like, it's a lack of substance and a lack of value. Go ahead.
And you know, I'm amazed that you just said that, because guess what? Everywhere we look in the world, people tell you to be proud of what you got. Be proud of what you've done. Be proud of your achievements. And guess what? It's the trick of the enemy for us to be proud of I and not to be proud with God and proud of God and what he's done in our life. But we get proud of ourselves, puffed ourselves up and say, I'm Dr. John and I'm Dr. Bill. And guess what? Dr. Bill and Dr. John dies the same death that I'm going to die and go to sleep the same way I sleep. Put their pants on the same way I put them on. Man.
And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will see that naked, you came out of your mother's womb, naked, you're going to go back out.
Yeah.
No degree, no doctor, credentials, nothing. You just go as you came. So
it's crazy. You go before God and say, I'm Dr. John. I can work on Jesus if you need me to.
I'm sorry, y'all. That was funny. I hope that was a laugh.
Let me help him with those holes in his hands. Come on.
That piercing on his side.
Yeah,
I got that.
Yeah, I know what that is. That's emphysema, you know, that he had right there on his piercing, on that piercing, you know. So
I like those medical terms. You just found there.
It's so funny. Because guess what? You know, when you become that big, that means you don't need God. And it's vanity in itself when you become so puffed up that you start to say, there is no God. Because if there was a God, he would listen to me.
Oh boy.
Man.
So in the Hebrew, the definition of vanity is hevel. Hevel means a vapor or like a breath. And I always equate it to like, you can't really make substance of a vapor, right? There's no substance. Do you try to hold on to it? You can't. I mean, you can't make substance of it. So this is what vanity is that these things have no substance. So let's not put our focus on things that have no substance.
You know what? It's funny that breath, I can see your breath, but it's only one time I can see your breath. It's when it's cold outside. You can see that breath pumping, that heat, you know, that hot breath pumping out there in the winter cold, and you'd be like, man, I wonder what it smell like. But no, I'm just joking. Yes, you're not wondering what it smell like. But what I'm saying is that, you know, that vapor, you can actually see the vapor itself, which has no substance. It has no color, right?
And it just goes away.
It goes away.
You can't even make substance of it. So that was, that in itself is wonderful. But as we went on to read the chapter after chapter and just hearing how vanity is in time and how we do things, God ordained everything for its time and how sometimes we try to value our labor and we try to value time and we try to, you know, value our money and all these things, but it's meaningless. And that's another word that's also used, is it's meaningless. It means nothing. So as we fast and pray, it is a wonderful thing to strip ourselves of the things that we build our confidence on. Because here's the book of Ecclesiastes reminding us that the things that we place so much value on that give us the substance of who we are truly meaningless. They don't mean anything apart from God, right? Apart from God, they don't mean anything. You can have all the money, and that money, and it talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you can make money, but money will just increase more problems for you. It will just increase more need for you in your life, that because you're going to have sleepless nights.
Because you're going to continue to need money, more and more. It's going to continue to have to be there. You know, and so I pose a question to those who are listening to us, those who, you know, I mean, you can always respond to us at, you know, on our website is g220effect.com, www.g220effect.com. You can respond to this question if you want.
And if you remember, or in any of our social media.
Any of our social medias, you know, what does it look like, you know, what does it look like for vanity, you know, in your life, you know, and how that it affects your life? Because vanity is, you know, it's meaningless. It's the things that we do that is not long lasting, not everlasting, you know. Remember the scripture, it say only what you do for Christ will last. It's going to come up again in the end, but in the end of this, but I just want to say it right now, remember, only what you do. And people say, oh yeah, it sounds like a cliche, and it might sound like a cliche, but guess what? Truth. The only thing that you want to do, only thing that's going to matter is what you do for Christ, what you do for God.
And I wanted to bring up that point about even like acquiring things, right? And I've noticed this, like if I work and I maybe have an increase in my compensation or whatever, it just brings up a desire.
Look at that big word, my compensation. My pay.
Increase in my compensation for whatever I did. Not necessarily the labor of working, but any other ventures, right? And it brings forth, it yields for more. What happens? Your instinct, the worldly instinct, drives you to instantly say, oh, I can afford that now. I can buy this now. You don't ever feel that?
That's the system. That's the setup.
I can spend money now because I have a little extra than what I had before.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people don't even think like that, but I'm just saying, like,
well, I know somebody that's very close to me that thinks like that. Very close. But you know what? I mean, we all have people like that in our life, and it might be us who think like that. You know, but does it make sense? You know, because guess what? Just because you have more, it's a, you know, there's an old saying that says, too much is given, much is required. So the more money, meaning you should be giving more.
Yeah, and that brings us back to this book. It reminds us that nothing apart from God has meaning, because God created. There's also parts in the book, even though I said, you know, when we were reading it, it just felt like it was so pessimistic, so negative. But there were also parts that were reminders that, look, God also gives gifts to be able to labor, enjoy your labor, to be able to have things and acquire things, but in his intention, in his purpose, right? So how did he create it? What did he ordain for you? Or what did he create for you to be able to spend, even with money, with finances? God wants us to give. One of the first things Jesus teaches us about is has all to do with finances. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, whatever you have. It wasn't necessarily finances as in like dollars and amounts, but the substance of what you have, right? Give it substance. To others. Like give it that. To others. Be able to be a blessing. And then if you are, then it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall man give unto your bosom. So God created a system
system that we are supposed to not have to hoard to ourselves and bring pleasure to our eyes, because look at my house and look at my things and look at all that I've acquired.
My family's good. I don't know about yours, but we keeping ours good over here.
But it was always meant for us to share with others. And I love what you always say this, that if we really lived in the system that God created, none of us will be poor. And that's the truth. True. None of us will be poor. There'll be no rich people who are rich and poor people who are poor. You know, we would be able to give to each other and all share what we have. The think about how fruitful the land is that God has given us. It is so fruitful. You go plant a seed right now, guess what? Springtime comes, that thing is going to flourish and it's going to yield forth great fruit. It's going to rain. Rain is natural. God gives it, you know, and everything is going to start coming alive and we can share. And those that maybe have a garden, you know that if you start growing tomatoes, you might have too many tomatoes. You have to share them. So that was the intention. So when we do things apart from God, then it just brings about sorrow and vexation of the spirit, as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes.
You know, and I'm imagining what you're saying, what you just said, because when you go back to the story in Genesis, we talk about Adam, right, being made, right? And here it is, Adam's alone, and God saw that he was alone because God was going to go rest. And he said, I'll make thee a helpmeet. So he made somebody that would be in unity with him to do the job that God required of him. Man, unity, right?
Yes.
And so guess what happened? When the decision was made to sin, it was not a unified decision, but it became a unified decision because both of them were one. Man, gosh. And so it's so powerful to know how unity leads us either good or bad. But to have unity, it always brings people together so that they can have the commonality and common goal so it can be complete.
Amen.
And so that's what God wanted from the get-go, that we first follow his voice, leading his leading, and we be unified in doing what he desired from us. Till the ground till I come, Adam. That's it. Till the ground. Until I tell you what's next, right? But guess what? You know, now today, we ain't just tilling the ground. We taking land. We saying it's ours. We selling the land. But here's God's green earth. And we're selling the land that's his, but it's his green earth. So how are we doing that? And it's like we saying, there is no God. This is me. And imagine that. And that's what it looks like when we able to take, you know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and start to use it for our own benefit, knowing it's God's. Man.
Yes.
Man.
I mean, it brings us, and again, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about this is a sore travail. This is vexation of the spirit. It is really when we do everything apart from the God's intention for what we're doing. We should always honor him first and be humble. And not proud that this is mine. I did this. I acquired this. I did that. But to really go to him for the meaning, and let's just take time. And I like that you posed that question. Like, you know, talk to us via our social media. Send us an email or whatever. Just let us know, what are some of the things that you believe are vanity in this world?
And you know what? Start to study these words, you know, so we can get to know what they really mean. Because God doesn't want us to be governed by law or a system. He wants us to be governed by his voice, his leading, right? If we're governed by law, guess what? The law is going to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You're going to feel restricted. And guess what's going to happen? When you make a mistake to the law, guess what? There's condemnation coming from others and for yourself. You're going to feel like you're a failure. You're going to feel like you can't make it. And others are going to make you feel like that. But guess what? In God's kingdom, there is freedom for us to do what is right. Not for us to do what is wrong and say, God's going to cover it. He's going to cover the bill. You know, I killed somebody, he's going to cover it. No, it's for us to do what's right and know that he is God and that I reverence him. So I'm not going to do none out of order. I'm going to do everything the way he say do it, according to his will and his way. Man, it's amazing. So the question is out there, y'all. The question is out there for y'all to answer.
Yes.
You know, and these are the answers that you have for yourself. You don't got to answer to nobody. You know, don't go to your pastor and say, oh, pastor, you know, they told us the answer to this. But go to God and get the answers that you need. And prayer. Have a real prayer life. When you pray to God, you're not just praying repetitiously the same thing every day, but that you start to pray with the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray, that he bring you out of Babylon. He brings you out of the system, and you start to see the system for what it is. You know how you have those moments when you're going through something, and after it's done, you get to look back and say, man, gosh, I didn't think I was going to make it out of that. But now I can see all my mistakes and I can see what helped me come out of it. Man, it's like that God would help us get the vision to see, to come out of things so that we could be better for him, better usage from him, you know, because he's creator, we creation, you know, and so that we can see and respect him and reverence him a lot better.
Amen. And you know what? The beautiful thing you just said that, and we'll just go right into that. The scripture here in Revelation 18:4, it reminds us, and here are the words being spoken. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. And this is the great Babylon. Come out from among her, come out from her, right? And this is so powerful, a reminder. And I think we look at it in Ecclesiastes, that's the Old Testament, so it's giving a whole different setting, but it's still a continuation, like you said earlier, that God keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And all these things, this is the beauty of who God is. He really is the Alpha Omega, beginning and the end, because he already knew, even back when he's speaking in the book of Ecclesiastes, using the story of Solomon, right? And all the way to now, we haven't even seen what he's prophesying here, to say, come out, you're still there, where you're being indoctrinated in this system that has horrible consequences. You become lured and filled with lust because of it, and you can't even see where you are. And I've told you time and time again, this stuff is vanity of vanities. I've told you time and time again that seek me. I've told you time and time again, I'm here. And he's telling, this is another reminder, come out.
And you know, it's so important that we understand we're in a system that's full of lies, right? It's full of lies. You might not be the liar, right? But guess what? The company you work for, they might be lying. And you're working for them profusely, like, oh, it's their company. But guess what? You're partaking in what their lie is. Man, imagine that. And so that, and we're all guilty of that. But guess what? There's grace for that. And God, is, you know, it's other scripture in Revelation that backs that up, when God says, you know, I will avenge my people from Babylon. Because guess what? Babylon is just doing what? Take from us, right? To the point where we don't even have the natural resources that God has given. It's under bondage that we even have the natural resources that will help us live.
and when we speak of this Babylon, it's a system that is ruling the world right now. And if you can see, we always laugh about this, that it doesn't matter where you are. The Western world has such an impact on everything and everyone.
And you just got
to
do it.
I mean, it's just the way that life is, right? And we've just adapted to it. You know, people's different cultures have changed and become more Westernized and all of this, right? So there's a system that's working. And here's the Holy Spirit helping us to be able to see the system and to have understanding that this is not where we belong. We belong to the kingdom of heaven, right? And the greatest reminder, especially with this book of Ecclesiastes, is that let us remember that apart from God, nothing has meaning. And that's just me rephrasing it. Apart from God, everything is meaningless. So let us go back.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you something. What do you think about that, though?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, I can go on and on about this. Apart from God, everything is meaningless. Imagine that you go and you strive and you labor to go to work and you tend to your family and you do all these things, right? And still, it just happens like a cycle. People get born, people die. Same thing over and over again. And you look back probably later on in your life, if you have the blessing to look back and say, what did I accomplish even? You know, what was even the meaning of all of that? Only what we do for Christ will last, guys. Only those things that are eternal will last. So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't raise your family, you shouldn't work, you shouldn't, no, do
you
it.
You shouldn't have a house you're living in. Doesn't mean any
no,
of that.
No, do it, but be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit, because he's going to lead you to everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything that brings forth life, he will lead you to those things. He will lead you away from deception and being in a cycle of the system that continues to take from you. And you are a slave to it. You're a slave to it, and you don't even realize it, because you get to show off because of pride, when you could just be humble and put God in his rightful place, and these things don't even have value to you to make you feel proud about anything. So that is what it means to me, is find out what God is saying about what you're doing, what you're working on in your life, where he has you, and say, Lord, do you have me here? What do you want me to do with this money that I have? What do you want me to do with the time that I have? What do you want me to do with my marriage that I'm in? You know, what do you want me to do with my parents? Lord, lead me.
Go to God first.
Yes.
Go to God with everything that you have. And get your answers, you know, and find out, you know, because the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked, right? So find out if your heart is leading you, and anything is in your heart that ain't godly, guess what? It might be leading you the wrong way. So you have to be very mindful of that, you know. And I'm imagining this when we start to talk about vanity. It's a scripture in 2 John chapter 2, verse 16 through 17.
First John,
1 John. It says, for everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world itself desire, and its desires pass away. But whosoever do the will of God will live forever. The most important thing about that is, imagine this. Those things will pass away. Only what you do for Christ will last. Man, only what you do for Christ will last. Just keep that real thought on everything that you do. Everything you do. Only what I do for Christ will last. And then you start finding, what am I doing for Christ? Am I doing anything? Or I'm just living my life, getting degrees, getting personal goals met. And guess what? I ain't done nothing for God. I just check the mark every Sunday when I go to church. Or I check the mark when I go to the food truck. I mean, not the food truck, the food shelter, and I pass out food. Man, but am I really doing what God said for me to do?
Yes. Man. Come out from her, because what? You might receive her plagues, and those plagues might be to be moved away from a relationship with Christ because you're so engulfed in what you're doing apart from God. So this was just a reminder to remind us to remain where God wants us to be. But I'm sure we'll continue this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good conversation. And anytime you want to chime in, chime in.
Amen. Well, this has been the G220 Effect.
And we're Ghost.